Father, I just pray that you would be with us this morning. Pray that you would especially be with me as I endeavor to share your word. Pray that you'd help me to be clear. Give me a clear mind. Father, again, help us to have open hearts, that we would hear what your word says and conform our lives to it. Amen. So, I'm going to go to Hebrews 11 this morning. You guys can open your Bibles there. I'm going to do a lot of reading the scripture. I'm going to read Hebrews 11 and most of chapter 10. I don't intend to do an extensive study on this chapter, but just a brief overview. Mostly for two reasons. One, I'm not extremely good at expository teaching. And two, my own understanding is limited to just a brief overview. It's all that I can really do. So, Hebrews 11 is where I'm focusing. But as I read this, I kept moving backwards. A few more verses back. And I kind of realized chapter 10 naturally leads up to chapter 11. To really understand chapter 11, it's very helpful to understand the 10 preceding chapters. The first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews are almost entirely dedicated to the purpose of proving that Christ is the fulfillment of both the Old Testament law and the priestly offices. And then we have a little bit of an overview of that in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1, we see, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Chapter 10, verse 4, we have, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And then verse 16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So we see a flow of ideas through this chapter. starting with the inability of the law to save us in verse 1 through 4. Then we see the abundance of the ability of Christ to save us in verses 5 through 18. And then he exhorts to let those truths take hold of our lives and live by them in verses 19 through 25. And then when we were warned what will happen to us if we draw back from these truths in verses 26 through 31. Then he tells us to remember what we have already endured. Or he's telling the Hebrews for them to remember what they have already endured for their faith. And not to lose patience in waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. Verses 32 through 37. And last of all, he gives the key that unlocks the whole thing in verses 38 through 39. Now the just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. There are many warnings throughout the book of Hebrews, and we see some of them here, dreadful warnings. And then I mean, he even speaks of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. He speaks of a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. And then he says, now the just shall live by faith. There's an obvious contrast here. He lays out that the law doesn't work, that Christ does work. Then he speaks of the danger of perdition. And at the end of the chapter, he closes by saying, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. This is that what he was just speaking of in chapter 10. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Believe on the Christ who he was just speaking of in chapter 10. Who is able to save to the uttermost. So he tells us, he gives us the hint, he gives us the key. Faith. But how could he stop there? Of course not. If faith is so important, if faith is this key that unlocks everything, he must tell us more about it, and so he does. This is what brings us into Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter of the Bible. In verse 1 of chapter 11, we get a dictionary type definition of what faith is. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance and evidence. Faith is not just a strong belief. You can believe something very strongly and not be right. If you're going to have Hebrews 11 faith, it must be right, not only a strong belief. Because faith is the substance and the evidence. Faith, true faith, biblical faith, has to have substance and evidence attached to it. If I were to tell you that I was going to go to Brazil, we have friends who just came up here to see ice caves. But if I were to tell you I was going to go to Brazil to see some snow and ice, you would say, I don't think so. Especially not if I said I was going to go to Manaus. I'm going to go to Manaus and see some snow and ice. You'd say no. And it wouldn't matter how persuaded I was in my own mind. I could be absolutely convinced and completely sure that I was going to go there and that I was going to see snow and ice, but it still wouldn't be true. And you really can't call such a confidence faith. You see, I could be absolutely convinced because someone had told me there was. But that's not faith because there's no substance and there's no evidence for what I believe. In the NIV, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." That is a bad translation. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Completely subjective. Whereas the truth is, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Objective. As the word stands in English, it may mean nothing more. The word faith in English may mean nothing more than simply a firm belief. But the theological definition, when we're going to speak of biblical faith, must go much deeper than that. Niagara Falls are a wonder to behold. So I've heard. I've never seen them myself. But however wonderful it is to watch, it's 10 times more horrifying to those who find themselves in it and unprepared. Spurgeon tells a story of two men who were in a boat on the river and ended up losing control, racing down the river hopelessly to be carried over the falls and dashed into pieces. But at last one of them was saved by grabbing a rope that someone had floated out to them. But just at the same time as that rope came by and the one man grabbed on the rope, a log was coming down the river as well. And in his frenzy and in his confusion, the other man grabbed a log instead of grabbing the rope. And of course, the man that grabbed the rope was pulled ashore, and the man that grabbed the log was swept down and over the falls, never to be heard of again. Faith is a lot more than grabbing onto a belief. True faith has to grab onto a true belief. Otherwise, it does no good. It doesn't matter how firmly you grab your beliefs, if they are not connected to reality, it will be to no avail. Faith is the channel. Faith is the aqueduct, but not the fountainhead. Our faith is in God. The way the NIV reads, you would think that there was virtue in faith of any kind. But the truth is, faith is only as good as the person in whom you have it. Have faith in God, for God is faithful. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And here we have the most classic example of what faith is. Noah Webster said that faith is an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of God. Faith is a firm, cordial belief in the veracity of God, in all the declarations of His Word, or a full and affectionate confidence in the certainty of those things which God has declared and because He has declared them. And then, verses 4 through 38 of chapter 11 are examples of people who did things because of their faith. Here we see what faith is by what it does. Jesus says in John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. If you were to try to explain to someone what wind was, the only real way to explain what wind is would be by showing what it does. You would say, wind is moving air, but that doesn't really give you a good idea. But if you point at trees moving, that's wind. The leaves flowing through the air, that's caused by wind. You start pointing to things in nature that are caused by wind, and then you begin to really get a grasp of what wind is and does. Faith is the same way. The writer of Hebrews gives us three verses of technical truth about what faith is. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then we are given, I have it written here, 34 verses of examples. Because that's where we really get a grasp of what faith is, by seeing what it does. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, Enoch pleased God. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. By faith, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him 3 months. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Through faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. And now I want to read this section from which I've extracted those things. Verses 4 of Hebrews 11 through 38. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of those things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We see that the first four pictures, the first four people used, are pictures of salvation. Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. And then the last example, Rahab, pictures salvation from judgment. But in between, are many other things. Example, from bearing children and blessing children to forsaking the world. Half of the examples we have given here are about the Christian life. And half of them are about salvation. And how fitting that is. We are told elsewhere, Colossians 2:6, "But as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And then verses 32 through 38, where he just mentions a whole bunch of people without telling their story in detail. All of them are regarding the Christian life. We see these men conquering, working, fighting, escaping, being made strong. We see women in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. One man comes to life by faith. Another man is tortured and killed by faith. Faith is all-inclusive. There is nothing that we need that we do not receive by faith. And that is really the heart of my message this morning. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what you need. Faith is the answer. In 1 John 5:4 we read, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith brings salvation. Faith brings victory over sin, over the world, the flesh, and the devil. True faith, that is. Faith brings peace. Faith brings rest. And then we go back to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. We move back to verse 5. It says, for before His translation, this is talking of Enoch, before His translation He had this testimony that He pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we knew nothing else about Enoch, all we would have to know is he pleased God, and we could know that he was a man of faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith must be placed on the faithfulness of God. Spurgeon tells another story, and I'm going to read this one. He relates this in Feathers for Arrows. A swallow, having built its nest upon the tent of Charles V, the emperor generously commanded that the tent should not be taken down when the camp removed, but should remain until the young birds were ready to fly. Was there such gentleness in the heart of a soldier toward a poor bird, which was not of his making? And shall the Lord deal hardly with His creatures when they venture to put their trust in Him? Be assured, He hath great love to those trembling souls that fly for shelter to His royal courts. He that buildeth his nest upon a divine promise shall find it abide and remain until he shall fly away to the land where promises are lost in fulfillments. Second Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. If you look at this verse, you notice it's in brackets. This verse isn't it's a standalone thought. The context isn't really necessary for this verse. This verse changes the context. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't just take faith to start the journey. It takes faith to take every step along the way. And remember, the foundation for faith is not how you feel. It's not even what you believe. The foundation for faith is the faithfulness of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When life has pounded you hard and you feel like your faith is about to fail, stop and remember, it's not about how strong my faith is. It's about how faithful God is. Don't look at yourself and try to figure out how much faith you have. Look at God and dwell on how faithful He is. We see through this chapter, as I mentioned already, we have Abel offering unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And he, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. We have Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. We have Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Prepared an ark and saved his house. We have Abraham, who obeyed God, who journeyed, who sojourned in the land of promise. Different pictures of salvation. And this, of course, is where faith starts. But it's by no means where faith stops. What got me thinking about Hebrews 11 is that Golden Harvest, we had our garage door was half fixed, and so if you weren't careful, you'd throw it up and it would go screaming up really fast. Go to the top and the wheels would fall off and all kinds of crazy stuff would happen. So Michael made a sign and he wrote on the door, he said, "Be mindful." Can't remember the rest of what his sign said, you know, just be mindful of this door. And so every time I walked to that door, "Be mindful," just the way that it was written made me think of verse 15. "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." This is speaking of Abraham. It goes to say Abraham was told to leave a country. And then it speaks of Isaac and Jacob. Let me read verse 9. Speaking of Abraham, it says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." We see here, faith causes us to live a certain way in relationship to the world around us. Faith causes us to have that heavenly mind, which again was talked about in chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 30, "For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And then the writer says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated," after you learned the gospel, after the light shined on you, "ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used." And the writer uses himself as an example. He says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." He's drawing the picture here. He's saying, you guys were persecuted, but not only were you persecuted directly, but you partook in the persecutions of others, naming himself in particular. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." And I can't help but seeing a parallel in this. To chapter 11 with the faith. Desiring a better country. We see by faith, Abraham conquered the trials that he was in. We see by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. By faith, Moses' parents didn't fear the government and didn't fear the laws of the land. By faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Again, we see that faith is to channel us to live a certain way before the world. Faith will cause you to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, Moses himself didn't fear the wrath of the king. Through faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. You guys remember the story? All the Egyptians behind them? Faith gave them that victory. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. I guess I'm just trying to draw a big picture. Not going necessarily very, very far in specific. As I said, I'm just giving an overview of what faith is and does. Because I know for myself, it's easy to think of faith, you know, in just its most basic form of trusting God for salvation. But when we look at Hebrews 11, we see that faith, it starts there. The first four pictures that are used of faith is for salvation. And then he goes on to everything that relates to everyday life. I had something I wanted to go look at a second time. Yeah, here it is. No, it's not. Oh, yeah. Everything regarding everyday life. Conquering, working, fighting, escaping, being made strong. Faith is the victory over sin, the world, the flesh, the devil. Faith brings peace. Faith brings rest. Again, just to sum it up, there is nothing that we need in the Christian life that we don't get by faith. And in A Thousand Tales Worth Telling, there's a story of a child who attended Sunday school and was given an illuminated text with the words, "Have faith in God." And on her way home, a gust of wind blew the treasured text out of her hand while she was riding in the tram. And the distressed child shouted out, "Stop the tram! I've lost my faith in God!" And the conductor smiled and the car stopped and the girl received her text card. And how many Christians, and I guess I want to even put it to you, how many of you this morning, if you were going to be fully honest, would have to cry out the same thing that girl cried out? "I've lost my faith in God." Never let that be the case. But if you have, Romans 10:17 tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And as has been part of my theme through all this, even this verse itself shows to us. The substance and the evidence of faith. This speaks of the Word of God. Objective. Faith is very objective. Faith must be placed in something. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, I know I've traveled around a bit. And as I said, just give a bit of an overview of what faith is. But I hope you guys have been able to glean a little bit from these things. Hope you guys have some thoughts you can take home and feed on for a while. And let me close with prayer. Father, I pray that you would be with us. Help us all as we endeavor to serve you. Help us, Father, to have a deeper understanding of what faith is. Help us, Father, to trust you and have more faith in your goodness and in your faithfulness than we ever have before. Help us, Father, not to look at ourselves. Help us not to look at our faith itself, but to look to you. And I pray that you would help us to take this cloud of witnesses, all these men that have gone before and lived lives of faith. Help us to look at them and be encouraged to do the same thing ourselves. Amen.